Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, song. Goes like this.
Hallelujah. Praise is what I do. I hope that there are some worshipers and some praisers under the sound of my voice, and I pray that you have been worshiping and praising God on tonight. God bless you. I am Pastor Felicia Dodson, your host for this evening. Welcome to Faith Ambassadors Staying on Purpose broadcast Sunday night ministry service. And we want you to get your pen and your paper so that you can take notes, so that as the man of God brings forth the word, as you hear something that resonates in your spirit, you can take notes, invite someone, text someone, call someone, let them know that we are live on Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. That they may be blessed, that they may hear something that the Lord has especially just for them on tonight. Wherever you're listening in from, whether you're at home, at work, outside the grocery store, in your car, in your room, wherever you are, we welcome you and we thank God for you being here. You could have been doing anything else, been listening to anyone else, but you decided to come and hear what thus saith the Lord through the men and the people of God. If you need us, please reach out to us, faithambassadors247@gmail.com, faithambassadors247@gmail.com, counseling, covering, you need someone to talk to, you need a man of God, a woman of God to cover you and to give you spiritual wisdom. We don't have enough of that. Spiritual wisdom and guidance. Please reach out to us, faithambassadors247@gmail.com. Our scripture for tonight is going to come from 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, the 6th and 7th verse. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." We do have a very special guest tonight bringing the word of God, so I'm going to ask Apostle Carter if he would take us to the throne room.
God, we love you so much. We thank you for your love and your grace, your tender mercies, God, that were renewed just this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you're working all things out together for our good. We thank you, Lord, for binding every spirit in the atmosphere and the stratosphere. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name, that you change generations right now. God, we thank you, Lord, that you're moving on our behalf right now. We thank you that you're the Lord God of our provision. We thank you that you're the Lord God of our healing, that you're the Lord God of our health, the Lord God of our deliverance, the Lord God of our favor, the Lord God who moves mountains for us. God, we thank you right now in Jesus' name that all things right now are moving as you would have them to move. In Jesus' name, thank you for the faith ambassadors. Thank you for all of the supporters of this movement. We ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, to have your way tonight. In Jesus' name, bless the speaker. Have you, let your word come forth like never before. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Apostle, for that powerful prayer. People of God, please, again, invite someone on this broadcast tonight. You don't want to miss it, and you don't want your friends and family to miss it. On next Tuesday is Women of Worth turn to go forth in ministry. You don't want to miss that as well. Ladies, invite your mother, your sister, your auntie, your cousins, and them, and ask them to come on the broadcast next Tuesday for Women of Worth. Brother Tony, go ahead with that song for 2 minutes, and then we'll come back ready for the question of the day.
Love you, oh Lord, my strength. I love you, oh Lord, my strength. I love you, oh my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock. Yeah. Lord is my builder, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock. In whom I take refuge, He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. Oh, He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. Oh, He's my high tower. He's my high tower. I will call on the name of the Lord. Who is worthy to be praised? I will call on the name of the Lord. Who is worthy to be praised? I will call on the name of the Lord. Who is worthy to be praised? I will call on the name of the Lord. Who is worthy to be praised? Said, I will call on the name of the Lord. Who is worthy to be praised? I will call on the name of the Lord.
God, I will call on the name of the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. God is absolutely worthy to be praised. We are still here. We are still in our right mind, activity of our limbs. He has provided for us and given us health and strength. That enough is something to praise Him for. All right. Let's get to our question of the day. Apostle?
I'm here.
You ready? All right.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right. It says, Apostle, I want to get married, but my pastor is telling me no. I'm very uncomfortable with her decision. Should I obey it? I'm 38. My man and I have been together 6 years.
This is challenging only because I would like to know where the pastor is getting the idea that she has that right or that ability to have that opinion, unless she has particular knowledge of the relationship and particular knowledge of the individuals, and she's making a determination based on what she knows is going to be a further catastrophe. But if she does not have those factors involved, where she has experience with the individuals to show that they have issues already. Perhaps they're homeless. If they're not homeless, if they are homeless, then that means that someone is there is a financial lack that's certainly going to cause problems later on if they are argumentative and they're before her a lot and she's neglected or rejected, not neglected them. If she has neglected them, then she has no power or privilege to make that kind of a decision. If she's on a control tip where she's just controlling them, I've seen pastors not want people to get married because the husband, and I feel in the spirit of the Lord that I feel that this would pull the member away from the church. And if that happens, then of course the member will stop paying giving tithes. That is also unacceptable as a reason to deny a couple, especially a couple that has been together for 6 years, the right to marriage. In fact, I would encourage this kind of a couple that's been together for 6 years to go ahead on and do the solemn thing. But again, I don't know where she's coming from and by what authority she's making this kind of a decision. It's not for a pastor to make these decisions unless they've had particular knowledge or spiritual guidance from the Holy Ghost to tell her that this is, you've been with him for 6 years, but he still ain't your husband. You know, you've been with him for 6 weeks. That ain't your husband. You know, so if the Holy Ghost gives her that kind of information, and I have had that kind of information, and, you know, weeks or months or years later, it comes back that, in fact, it was not her husband. But again, if it's a matter of control, which I'm going to prejudge as an issue of control, then it would be inappropriate for her to make that kind of a decision for this couple. But again, if I'm wrong, which I don't know, I know I'm not wrong, but if I were wrong, then I would say that the pastor has no right to make that kind of a judgment call without hearing from the Lord. Now, if she's heard from the Lord or if she's seen something in the couple that she just doesn't agree with, then you know, I can certainly understand. And I've seen some fighting couples. I've seen some couples that really just didn't seem like they should get along, but I knew that they were made for each other. And I've given them, you know, my blessing to get married and have trusted the Lord for the process for them. But I would say that if the couple has sought the Lord and they've heard from the Lord to go forth, then I would certainly tell them to go forth with what God has said and not what man, or in this case, the woman has said. Always follow the leading of the Holy Ghost over the leading of a title or an individual. We want to honor those titles, but we want to also honor what God says even more so. That is extremely important. Many, 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 many people have missed out over time because someone has rejected the voice of God in leadership for their own personal grandiosity. So we don't want to participate in that in any way, you know. So seek the Lord again if you feel that this is what the Lord has said, then there's no need to seek the Lord again. You just need to seek another preacher to consecrate the marriage, but as far as I believe that you have to follow the voice of God. And if you've got a good man, you know you've got a good man. You got a good woman, you know you've got a good woman. You've made your decision in your heart, then go ahead and marry her, because 6 years is a long time. We don't want to delay you further in doing what is godly. You know, marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled. So we want to make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing the way you're supposed to be doing it, to the glory of God. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, tonight we are privileged. We are privileged. We are honored to have a young minister before us tonight, who I believe that the Lord has placed in my path to develop him and to work with him and to be an apostle to him, to minister to the nations. When I met him, I felt the Spirit of the Lord on him, the humility of God in him. And I immediately came to respect him. For me, that's a challenge. A lot of times I meet people and I respect the fact that they're Christian, whether they are pastors or not. And the limit of my respect goes to them as a pastor. I mean, as a Christian, I'm honored when I can meet a minister of the gospel and know in my spirit that this is a minister of worth before the Lord. I felt it immediately in my spirit, and I'm honored tonight to present to some and introduce to others the Honorable Minister Jock Teal Frierson of Bishopville, South Carolina, if I'm not mistaken. He's a man of God that others have had confidence in, and I have confidence to support him tonight as he ministers in these jails and prisons and hospital bedrooms and these various homes that are before us all over the world, these drug rehab centers that are listening and will be listening, and to those who will be hearing us all over these ministry airways. We thank God for the young man, and we thank God for what God is going to do in his life. I am decreed and to watch him, and I'm going to do that. And as much as he submits to the power of God, the more that he submits to this ministry, the more I'm going to help him. So we thank the Lord for Minister Frierson, and to the people of the Faith Ambassadors, and to the people of the nation. I present the Honorable Minister Jock Teal Frierson. Jock Teal, you have the mic at this time.
Bless you, Bishop. I thank you in advance for an opportunity just to share what the Lord has deposited into my mind, into my spirit. Truly, it is an honor and a privilege to speak on behalf of Faith Ambassadors, to just come and share with you what thus says the Lord. Not going to be before you long on tonight, but there's a word from the Lord. It's found in the book of Daniel. It's found in the book of Daniel, Daniel the sixth chapter. Daniel the sixth chapter, starting at verse 6 and commencing reading at verse 10. Daniel the sixth chapter, verses 6 through 10. There you find these words. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said this unto him, King Darius, live forever. All of the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal stature and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which allotteth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. On tonight, I want to talk, teach, preach, whatever the Lord says from this thought, simply, never scared. Never scared. God, y'all till, decrease, you increase. Have your way right now, Holy Spirit. I'm open. I'm available to you. Whatever you say, I do. In your son Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Never scared. Never scared. Brothers and sisters, as followers of Christ, we have been commissioned and we have been tasked to walk boldly and upright before others to show that we represent Christ. When we gave our life to Christ, we told God, or we have been given the identity, the occupation to walk and to be servants and to be agents for Christ. When people see us, they are to see God, they are to hear God, they are to know God. When you are in a crowd of unbelievers, somebody who is a believer should be able to see you out among the crowd.
Yes.
When we decided that we wanted to follow Christ, we decided that we were going to be different, that we didn't want to be like the world, but we were going to put on a persona that shows others that we belong to royalty, that we belong to a king, and that we are part of a kingdom that is about our Father's business. So we as the believers, we have been tasked. We have to do what is pleasing in the eyesight of God. This means that we are not easily persuaded by persecution and attack from unbelievers or those who denounce God when they are faced with adversity. This means that we have to be different. We can't allow words, we can't allow situations, we can't allow people, we can't allow circumstances, we can't even allow fear to keep us from believing and trusting in God and standing on God's word despite what it looks like, feels like, or sounds like. I know for somebody that's easier said than done, but if you believe God, then you have the faith that God is in control of every situation, every problem, everything that you're facing. You understand that God is at the forefront and God has your back even when you don't see or feel like God is there. So no matter what others are doing, we the believers are supposed to be the ones who stand firm on God's word and the promises of God despite our present circumstances, despite what we're going through, despite what we're faced with, despite what it looks like, what it sounds like. We know what doctor reports have said, but what did God say? Come on, we know what's going on with our family, but we know that God can work it out. Come on, we know what the word said, that God will never leave us nor forsake us. Come on, we know that we're the head and not the tail. Come on, we know that God has all power in the palm of his hand, and we have been commissioned, tasked, and our main priority is to even trust God when we cannot trace God. And so no matter what others are doing, we the believers are supposed to be the ones who stand firm on God's word and the promises despite our circumstances. And that's what's going on in our text on tonight. For you see, when we begin to open the book of Daniel, even in the first chapter of Daniel, we see that Daniel, along with three of his friends, have been put in a compromising position. It was back in this first chapter of the book of Daniel that Daniel, along with his three friends, they're known as three Hebrew boys. Their real names are Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, but we know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were taken into exile by King Nebuchadnezzar, and they were made slaves to him, and they were picked and selected among groups of young men to serve in the king's palace. I need you to understand that here in this first chapter of Daniel, where it begins, so you can understand where I'm going on tonight, that King Nebuchadnezzar had himself a plan. It wasn't a plan to prosper Daniel. It wasn't a plan to prosper the three Hebrew boys. It wasn't a plan to prosper anybody involved, but it was a plan for him to gain control over the people that he placed in exile. It was a plan for him to strip them of their heritage, their culture, their identity, their being, even strip them of their God. King Nebuchadnezzar had a plan, and his plan was working. He changed the name of Daniel and his friends and gave them a new name, a slave name, a name that only represented what he saw them as and not what God saw them as. Good God Almighty. So he stripped them of their essence, their name, and he tried to kill the spirit of God that was on the inside of them. But I came here tonight to speak to you with Holy Ghost boldness and tell you, no matter what people call you, no matter what people say about you, no matter what people think about you, they can't kill what's on the inside of you that God has already ordained and are destined to live. So the king, he had a plan in place, and it seemed to be working just fine. He even decided that he was going to feed them food and give them wine from the king's table and teach them the literature and the language of the Babylonians. This was his plan. But Daniel, here in the first chapter, made up in his mind that he was not going to defile himself with the food or the wine. And Daniel shows us, even in this first chapter and throughout the rest of the book, that no matter what goes on or what's faced, I still believe God. And just like Daniel, we got to have the same attitude today. Despite what's going on, despite what people are doing, despite what people are saying, despite what Donald Trump is saying, despite what the news is saying, we still believe God to show up strong and mighty in the face of adversity, in our lives, and in everything that's going on in the world. Listen, I know we're in a pandemic. I know things don't look good. I know things don't feel good. I know every day you wake up is a day of uncertainty. But one thing is for certain, that God will never fail, that God will never leave you, that God will never forsake you. One thing that is for certain is that the word of our God shall stand forever. One thing that is for certain is that God has all power in the palm of his hand. All you have to do is put your faith on it and trust God, even when you can't trace God. Daniel, he told himself, he made it up in his mind that he was going to trust God even in the circumstances that were faced with him. He knew that he could not give up on God because God wouldn't give up on him. And that's what I just want to tell you tonight. Don't give up on God, because God isn't giving up on you.
So what, you made some bad choices? So what, you strayed away? So what, you're not where you want to be? You better thank God you're not where you used to be. God has a way of showing himself mighty and strong, even in times where it feels like God isn't there.
Jesus.
And so now, we've reached the sixth chapter. And Daniel has now been promoted in the king's palace. Yeah. Daniel has been given new position, new rank, higher calling, higher status in the king's palace. But the text helps us to see that even though he was getting statue, even though he was getting status, even though he was getting all this acclamation, he still believed God for who God was. How you know, preacher? It's in the text. Here we find, starting with this sixth verse, that there is a group of people. You have the presidents and you have the princes, and they're together and they're giving their worship to King Darius. They're bowing down. They're telling him, King Darius, live forever. And so they're with the king, and they make this decree. They decide that they want the king to not allow if anybody is to pray to any other god, any other human being, for the 30 days except for King Darius, that they be thrown into the den of lions. Now, I know for some of you, that's not your story, but all of us can testify that at some point, there's been a time where a situation has tried our faith. It tested us. It wanted to make us give up. It wanted to make us denounce God. It wanted to make us not see God for who God really was. We all, if we be honest with ourselves, can testify that we've been in this place. We've been in this place, and it's not a comfortable place. It's not a feel-good place. It's not a place of happiness, of joy, but it's a place of pain, because you really want to trust God, but your situation won't allow you. Your finances won't allow you. Your people in your ear, on your job, even in the church, they won't allow you to see God for who God is. And that's exactly what was going on. They wanted to make King Darius more powerful than God. And for some of you, you got people, you got things that you're trying to make more powerful than God. Come on, you're trying to make your money more powerful than God. You're trying to make that spouse more powerful than God. You're trying to make the man or woman of God that you're under more powerful than God. But there is no greater power than the power of Jesus Christ. I need you to hear me on tonight. God is the greatest power that this earth has ever seen. So it's here that this decree is made, and they are pushing for the king to pass this decree. They want the king to sign off on what they believe is the best thing for what's going on in the kingdom. They want the king to accept the offer that's being given to them. And the king, being so stuck on himself, thinking he's all that in a bag of chips, thinking that everything is his, he owns it, and that nobody can stop him, there's nothing nobody can do, can block him, he signs the decree. And the decree is now set in stone that anybody who prays to any other god or any other thing except for him is to be thrown into the den of lions. But I told you back in Daniel 1 that Daniel made up in his mind that he was going to trust his God through it all that he was faced with. And so here in the sixth chapter, after this decree is signed, Daniel goes to his home. Goes to his window. His window is open. and he kneels, and the text says that 3 days, three times a day, Daniel prayed to his God. Did y'all hear me? I said the text says that he goes to his room, his windows are open, and three times a day, he prays to his God. Nowhere in the text did he say he followed the decree that he prayed to King Darius, but he made up in his mind that he was going to pray to his God three times a day. And watch this. He didn't just start this when the decree was sent out, but he was already doing it.
Yeah.
Y'all don't hear me. He was already praying three times a day to his God, but once the decree was made, he continued to pray to his God. I need to tell somebody that your circumstances shouldn't change how much you communicate and put your faith in God. Now, y'all don't hear me tonight. Your circumstances, your present, your current circumstances shouldn't stop you from being in the posture of God that you were in before you were faced with adversity. That text tells us that Daniel was doing this even before the decree was put forth. I don't know who I'm talking to on tonight. I don't know who's hearing me. I know I may know you, I may not know you, but I need to tell you that you need to continue on in God like you've been doing. Because it won't always be like this. It won't always be trouble. You won't always feel pain. But God is a burden bearer. God is a heavy load carrier. And God is fighting for you right now. And this would be a good place wherever you are, whether you're in your car, whether you're in your house, whether you're eating dinner, whatever you're doing, this would be a good place to tell God thank you for what he's getting ready to do, because it won't always be like this. I need to tell you that tonight you're going to get the best sleep you could ever have, because tonight is the night you're going to lay down your burden and you're going to pick up Jesus. You're going to start back praying. You're going to get back in your word. You're going back to church. You're going to find a ministry to get committed to, because it won't always be like this. Daniel made up in his mind that just because he was faced with adversity, he was not going to give up on his God. Daniel shows us that when you commit yourself to God, nothing scares you. Nothing bothers you. When you really know who you're serving, you're able to stand out among everybody else who's bowing down, among everybody else who's selling out, among everybody else who's giving up, among everybody else who's walking away. When you really know who you're serving, you're able to give God your whole heart and trust God with a little bit, and God will work wonders in your life. Daniel, three times a day with the windows open. That means he wanted them to hear him praying. Good God Almighty. He wasn't scared about it. He didn't just go in his room and pray in silence or pray so low that nobody could hear him. But he had the windows open hoping somebody could hear him. And you need to sound the alarm on tonight so somebody can hear you claiming God. You need to sound the alarm tonight so somebody can hear you trusting God. You need to sound the alarm tonight so somebody can see you walking boldly and upright before God. I'm telling you tonight, tonight is the night that you need to sound the alarm so everybody can know that you walk for Christ, that you stand for Christ, that you are an agent for Christ, that nothing is going to easily slay you. You got to sound the alarm on tonight and take God at God's word.
Yes.
Daniel.
Yes.
God Almighty, I feel good, Bishop. Daniel made up his mind that God was who he was going to serve. And so he prayed. And just like he wanted, they heard him pray. They heard him praying, and they went back to the king. Ain't that just like people who selling out for Christ? They always go back and tell what the people who living for Christ doing. They always got to tell other folks and try to get other folk in trouble. But why aren't you one of the ones who's being an agent for Christ? So they go back and they ask the king a question. They ask the king, they said, didn't you make a decree that whoever prayed to any other god or any other person except for you for 30 days were to be thrown into the den of lions? And the king, he didn't hesitate. He didn't feel any rapport. He said, yeah, that's the decree that was made. But here go the snitches.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, I'm going to talk real tonight. Here go the snitches. Well, Daniel's up there in his room, and, you know, his windows face Jerusalem, and they open, and he's up in his room praying to his God. They told on Daniel. Come on, they told on they weren't strong enough to be like Daniel, so they stooped low enough to tell on Daniel. And the reason some people are telling on you, the reason adversity is facing you, is because the people that you surrounded yourself around aren't strong enough to carry what you carry. Come on. They ain't strong enough to serve God like you serve God. They ain't strong enough to trust God like you trust God. Come on. They ain't strong enough to believe God like you believe God. So they're telling and they're trying to bring you down, all because they're jealous of what you're holding on the inside of you. The king heard all of this. And I can just imagine the king looking at his presidents, his princes, his governors, looking at all of them and just staring in amazement that somebody would challenge the authority of him and praise to another God. Oh, but brothers and sisters, Daniel was radical. Daniel didn't care about a lion's den. Daniel cared more about pleasing God than bringing shame upon himself and God. And that's the type of mentality we got to have. We got to stop allowing people to have so much power over us. We got to stop allowing people to take our happiness. We got to stop allowing people to take our joy. We got to stop allowing people to tell us how to do something. We got to stop letting people tell us when and where we need to be going. But we need to take ownership of our own lives. We need to take ownership of who we're going to serve. And we need to declare boldly that we are going to walk and serve the Lord our God. Now the king amazed at Daniel, but the king couldn't let up on his promise. No, the king had to make good on his promise. He brought Daniel, and he told Daniel the news he had heard, and he placed Daniel in the lion's den, just like he promised. Yeah. The same happened when the three Hebrew boys wouldn't bow down to the statue, so they were thrown in the fiery furnace, and it was set 7 times harder than normal. But God stepped in and intervened for them, and they came out not burned, not scorched, but they got promoted in the province of Babylon because of their faith in God. Now we see Daniel in the same predicament as his friends. But he's not in a furnace. He's in a lion's den. These lions could devour Daniel, could make a meal out of Daniel. But something interesting happened in the den. Something interesting happens in the den, Bishop. And what happens is that they the lions, watch this now, the lions recognize the God inside of Daniel. They recognized the God on the inside of Daniel, and because they recognized this, they couldn't harm Daniel. Oh, y'all not hearing me tonight. They didn't harm Daniel because Daniel had something different on the inside of him, and God had already stepped in his situation because Daniel made up in his mind in the first chapter, in the beginning. Oh, God, yeah, that's good right there. I'm going to come back to that. Daniel made up in the beginning what he was going to do and what he was not going to do. So the lions couldn't harm Daniel because God was fighting for Daniel every step of the way. Daniel didn't sway. Daniel didn't start off believing God and stop. Daniel didn't say, well, today I'm going to believe him, but tomorrow is going to be a different story. Daniel stayed consistent with what he believed and who he believed in. But instead of the lions harming Daniel, Daniel was able to rest and use the lions as a pillow. But Daniel wasn't getting rest. Daniel was resting in God. And that's what I need y'all to do. Start resting in God. Stop being up all night, tossing and turning, pacing the floor, worried about this thing, that thing, somebody, this person, that person. But rest in God, knowing that God knows what's best concerning you. I know it's tough. I know it's rough. I would be lying to you if I tell you every day I wake up, I can see what God is going to do concerning me. I would be lying to you if I tell you there hasn't been moments where my faith has been tried and tested and I wanted to walk away from it all. I would be lying to you over these airwaves if I told you that there were times in my life where I wanted to walk away from the very purpose that God called me to. But I understood that God is greater than my circumstances. God was greater than what I was going through. And that because God had his hands on me, I was still able to trust God, to give God my all, to bless God even when I didn't feel like it, to lift my hands even when I didn't have a reason to lift them, to clap my hands even when I didn't feel like clapping them, to tell them hallelujah even though I didn't feel like opening my mouth to say a word. I trusted God with a little bit of faith that I had, and God has done tremendous things in my life. And I want to tell you on tonight, trust God with the little bit that you have. The Bible tells us all you need is faith the size of a mustard seed. Go look up how big mustard seeds are. That's all the faith you need. God didn't tell you to have mountain-sized faith, but he told you to have mustard-sized faith, and you can move mountains. Daniel had faith in God. He rested in God. He rested in the assurance of God. He rested in the protection of God. He rested in the provision of God. He rested in the anointing of God, that he knew that he would not be harmed in his circumstance. And when you rest in God, when you trust God like that, you always leave room to put people in astonishment and amazement. What do you mean, preacher? It's in the text. It's in the text. They go and they see that Daniel is asleep in the lion's den, and the lions have not harmed Daniel. It's proof in the pudding. God will allow your enemies, your haters, those who talk about you, those who persecute you, to see God's hand still upon you. God has a way of, that's why in the text he says he'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemy. Because though the people who want to stop you from eating are going to have to watch you. So they go and they see Daniel resting between the lions. And when they open the door, the lions attack the people, the men who belong to the king. They never harm Daniel. The lions don't bother Daniel, but they attack the very ones who were on the side of the king. And God is getting ready to eliminate some people, God is getting ready to eliminate some situations, and those things that were going to get ready to attack you, the people that were going to attack you, God is getting ready to turn it around in your favor. God is getting ready to bless you. God is getting ready to elevate you. God is getting ready to bring you into a better season. Come on, because your season of lack is up. Your season of depression has passed. Your season of anxiety, so long, bye-bye. God is getting ready to fulfill promise to somebody. God is getting ready to fulfill purpose to somebody. Come on, we in a pandemic, but we serve a God that's still able to move. I'm so glad that just because a pandemic has happened, God hadn't stopped blessing. I'm so glad that just because we're in a pandemic, God has not stopped answering prayer. I'm so glad that even though we're in a pandemic, God has not stopped healing. I'm so glad that even though we're in a pandemic, God has not stopped bringing back families. I'm so glad that even though we're in a pandemic, God has not stopped being God. I just want to tell you on tonight, never be scared. Never be scared to stand for God, to be radical for Christ. Never be scared to trust God, to show others that God resides in you. Never be scared to let others see the God on the inside of you. Never be scared to look adversity in the face and say, for God I live and for God I die. Never be scared to tell that friend, that brother, that sister, that mother, that father, that daughter, that son, that God is the greatest power and I choose him this day over all that I have going on. Never be afraid to let God be God in your life. Never scared. Never afraid. And because God is the greatest power, I'm never defeated. But I always win. Daniel made it up in his mind. The three Hebrew boys made it up in their mind that they were going to serve God, that they were going to believe God, that they weren't going to be stripped of the God that they served. And I just need to tell you that tonight, you need to make the same decision. It ain't a decision for everybody. It ain't a decision that you make if your mama makes it, or if your daddy makes it, or if your homeboy or your homegirl makes it. But it's a personal decision. You got to make it for yourself. Choose God. God knows what's best. God has all power. God can make all crooked places straight. Choose God today. I'm going to tell this quick story and then I'm finished, Bishop. But there was a little girl and her family. They went to church one Sunday and they came back home and the little girl went to her brother, asked her brother, said, hey, bro, do you know any? And the brother told his sister, said, no, I don't know any any. Little girl told her brother, never mind. She went to her mother and said, mother, do you know any? And the mother said to the little girl, no, I don't know any. Little girl said, never mind. She went to her daddy. He was in his office, and he said, daddy, do you know Andy? And the daddy said, who is Andy? And Andy better not be in my house. Little girl said, never mind. She started looking through the cabinets, looking all through the house, start putting the house in disarray, looking for Andy. Family came and found her. Asked her, what's gotten into you? What's wrong with you? And the little girl simply replied, did you not hear the pastor today? The pastor said, Andy walks with me. Andy talks with me. Andy tells me that he's wrong. And the daddy began laughing and he said, baby, you're talking about the Lord. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own. All I'm trying to tell you is you have somebody on your side that even when times get hard, when times get rough, he'll walk with you, he'll talk with you, he'll tell you he's his own, he'll pay your bills, he'll make your crooked places straight. All you have to do is trust him. never sin, never deceive. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you.
Jesus. Such a powerful, useful, timely, needed word. We thank the Lord for Minister Joshua Frierson. We thank God for this word to him tonight. I just want to pray with you tonight. If you have not given your life to Christ, this is your opportunity to just put your hands up wherever you are and repeat these words after me. Father, I come to you tonight and ask you in the name of Jesus to receive me to your kingdom. I confess with my mouth and believe in with my heart that Jesus lived, he died, and he rose from the grave. And Lord, with this belief, I ask you to take over my life. Have your way, strengthen me for the task of living for you. In Jesus' name, amen. And to all of you tonight who are facing some type of struggle, some type of issue, some type of thing, I want to pray with you tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, whatever they're going through, give them the fortitude, the power, the strength, the resolve, God, to never be scared, to never let you go, to stand on your promises, to know, God, that you're going to keep your word, to know, God, in Jesus' name, that they don't have to fear what man can say or do. But, God, in the name of Jesus, tonight, God, I thank you for this word. I thank you for the messenger tonight. I thank you, Lord God, that you're doing it right now for somebody, loosening their burden, strengthening them now, oh God, that they might even move into the task of living for your glory. God, I thank you, Lord God. And I know that this thing is done in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it tonight.
Hallelujah.
Bless your servant tonight. Bless his family tonight. Thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name, for the word tonight. I needed that
thank
word
you, God.
Tonight, and I thank you for it right now. God, now have
thank
your way
you,
in
Jesus.
Their lives. And I give
thank
you honor
God.
And I give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Here you can
Amen.
Reach us at faithambassadors247@gmail.com. That's faithambassadors247@gmail.com. That's faithambassadors with an S, 247@gmail.com. I don't know the website. I don't know your giving number. I don't know any of those things, but I thank God that if you want to give, if you want to do, to join a movement, I'm not interested. People have been asking, how can I join the ministry? Listen, I don't want another member. I thank God for what I have. I thank God for the over 3,000 that follow me in the Lord now. But what I'm looking for are people who are ready to move in the kingdom, with people who are ready to be a part of a movement. I'm seriously not interested just in another member. If you want to give tithe to this ministry, whether you give tithe to another ministry, whatever you do, just do what you're supposed to do. But if you're part of, if you want to be a part of a movement, an interactive ministry where we don't have to see you every Sunday or every day. But if you need us, we will be there. We will be there. But if you want to be accountable, if you want to have our ministry reach out to you and minister to you, work with you, then we will definitely be available to you. So we thank God for all that God is doing, and we thank God for what he's getting ready to do. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord work with you.
Come on,
and
everybody,
may the Lord give
you
high favor in this season.
He's worthy
Jesus
of the glory.
Amen.
He
God
deserves
bless you.
The praise. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship. Lift your hands and bless him in this place.
Simple song.
Everybody, come on and come to the table.